Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Matty Mayhem, and with me is my partner in crime, Sean Carnage. Say hi, Sean.
What's up, everybody?
Just kidding.
Howdy do, folks. Anyways, we're here. This is our first foray into podcasting. Neither one of us have ever done this before, but, you know, we are huge Raider fans, as I'm sure any of our listeners are who are like us. Go online, try to find any and all Raider content, any Raider podcast, any Raiders anything, and we just consume it. And it's being a Raider fan for us is really like 365 because... obviously, you follow them throughout the regular season, but as soon as the season's over, it's like, okay, who are we going to sign in free agency? And then who are we going to sign in the draft? Or who are we going to draft in the draft? And then after the draft, it's like, all right, now let's talk about those dudes and watch endless hours of, you know, footage on every single one of our draft picks, you know, our shiny new toys that McDaniels and Ziegler get us this year. And we talk about that all summer. And then when training camp happens, we watch all of the training camp tweets by the reporters, and then eventually the season starts. So we figured we'd start this podcast to just contribute to Raider Nation. Here is our opinions, and our opinions are as good as anybody else's, I think. But we are definitely coming from a place of absolute love for the team. Our blood is silver and black. Of course, we got that from our dad. Sean is my brother and our other brother. And, I guess Mel, we have a sister. She's not a huge Raider. I guess she is. Do you think she's a Raider fan?
She has no choice in the matter. So I know she roots for the team because she knows it makes her brothers happy.
That is true. That is true. I know her husband, Marcus, is a Bears fan?
Time out, dude. I'm going to go on record here, and I hope he hears this, but I'm holding him to it. But he was talking about getting a Raider hat, and I told him I'd buy it for him. So, hey, let's get another one in the nation.
Hey, that's awesome. I know, of course, the nephew, their son, Logie's already sporting the silver and black. And Charlie, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, we're going to brand these kids, and they have no choice in the matter. We are a Raider Nation family, and we will continue to be so.
All right, let's start by talking about the state of the Raiders post-free agency, the 2023 free agency class. Some notable names, the ones that I want to start talking about. Let's start with Jimmy G. Obviously, when I heard the news, he was like the one guy I didn't want. Because, you know, it's like, why would the Raiders want to sign somebody who the Niners could not wait to get rid of? You know what I mean? So I feel like Jimmy G was someone where I was like, why are we, like, what's the deal? Like, I get the connection with McDaniels, you know, and the fact that he played over there in New England and he knows the system, blah, blah, blah. But, like, why are we going to draft a dude that's probably going to give us, like, six good games? I mean, I get it. He's got a good winning percentage, but, like, look at the teams he was on. He was on New England. And he was on the 49ers. And, of course, both of those teams are already stacked with superstars. And, you know, they're going to – well, at least the Patriots were when he was – you know, Jimmy G was on the Patriots. But, like the Raiders don't have that. I mean, we do on offense, I guess. What do you think about that?
I agree the same thing. I wasn't really excited about the Garoppolo pickup at all. He was one of the guys I definitely didn't want, you know. But at the same time, I didn't want to give up too much for Aaron Rodgers, who – you're also going to get the same thing. Like, every year, you don't know if he's going to play. Because at first, I was in on the Rodgers thing. And then for Lamar Jackson, it's like, that's a lot of money, you know, which at least he's a guaranteed guy. And there's a lot of prospects in the draft, and that's another thing. I didn't want to give up too much just to move up because I don't feel like we're in a position. I think the top four guys are going to go early. And with the Garoppolo pickup, now we're not forced to have to make that decision. And we have so many holes on this team. If you give up too much draft capital in future draft capital, you know, you're setting yourself back even further. So I think the Garoppolo is a good Band-Aid. He knows the system. He's a good locker room guy. And you know what? Maybe there's a quarterback that's there in round two or maybe even at one that can sit behind him and maybe learn the system from him and grow.
I know the Raiders tried to move up to number one. I don't know if you heard about that. But they tried to, I think they made an offer to, who was number one?
Bears.
It was the Bears, yeah. They tried to trade with the Bears, but it ended up, the Bears, like the Panthers, offer better. But the question is then, If they were trying to move up, who were they trying to move up for? I mean, obviously a quarterback. You know, I kept hearing that they like Stroud out of Ohio State, but it obviously didn't work out. And so they went and got Jimmy G afterwards. So obviously Jimmy G is a contingency plan. That wasn't their first choice either. I had also read that they've looked into trading for Aaron Rodgers, but ultimately they decided that they didn't want to pay what the Packers were offering, or not offering, but what they wanted. And so they moved on pretty quickly, although it's probably for the best because, again, you're renting Aaron Rodgers for, what, a year and or maybe 2 years? He's committed to the Jets, but it sounds like the Jets and the Packers can't agree on a trade deal, trade compensation. And so it's kind of everybody's like in a wait-and-see approach, which is kind of a shitty place to be. What do you think?
Yeah, and I'm glad I'm not in that place as a fan. You know what I mean? If we're in the Rodgers like conversation, our team can't move on with planning the offseason if they're still in quarterback limbo. And you know, how's that going to go? At least we have a plan that's set in play and we have the players that they want. Rodgers would have been nice. I mean, he's a great quarterback. He's not really like a team-friendly guy, so he's not going to be somebody that's going to show your rookie quarterback what's going on. He's just going to do his time, have fun with Adams, and then be out. And I'm glad that we're not in on that play at all.
What I think that they're doing is I really think that Ziegler and McDaniels are basically looking at the team and saying, okay, we have a better offense than we do a defense at this point. Our defense is bottom of the league, like bottom five. And so what we could do is we could build up our offense, you know, the offense that we want, and hope to just score a lot of points, you know, to keep up with the Chiefs and the Chargers and probably the Broncos, now that they have Sean Payton over there. But like, by signing, and if you look at a couple of the other free agents that they signed, we got Austin Hooper, the tight end out of Tennessee, was with the Titans. And I mean, he's no slouch. He was a Pro Bowler, two-time Pro Bowler. And of course, they traded away Darren Waller, which, you know, also was a shock. I can't say that I was stoked about that trade, although stuff is coming out that he might not have been happy with the Ziegler McDaniels leadership and perhaps, you know, had been milking his injuries. Although, you know, he's given some interviews over there in New York because he got traded to the Giants. He seems to, you know, say that it was kind of a misunderstanding, that, you know, he was authentically just kind of setting up to like propose to his then fiance. It's an interesting situation.
Yeah, we got to understand. I mean, these football players are people too, and they do have other stuff going on. And some people were kind of upset about him being over at the women's basketball game with for his fiance, you know, when he wasn't, you know, with the team. And seemed like there was a little bit of a detachment from the team, you know, and I don't know if that's how the players felt in the locker room, but just from a distance, you can kind of see it. You know, he just, you know, football players at the end of season, they're playing hurt. You know, all of them are playing hurt, you know, and I think Darren Waller was kind of saving his body. This is my opinion, you know, to kind of just make sure he was 100% before he went out there. And I mean, he's getting up there in age too. So, I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. And he made a business decision just based, you know, on himself. And I mean, I get that. And hopefully it works out for him. Who ended up picking him up?
They trade him to the Giants.
Over to the Giants, yeah. So if things work out with him over there and Daniel Jones, and, you know, I wish him the best. And, you know, happy to have Hooper. And hopefully he works out. This year's draft is deep on tight ends, and I really see the Raiders looking into grabbing one of those guys. I can't see McDaniels passing on one.
Well, they say that they're going to draft for need and not draft for need. They're going to draft best player available and not for need. I know we've been drafting for need for like a decade at this point, and so I think that, you know, by basically saying, all right, well, we need so many players on defense that we really can't miss if we draft a good defensive player. And if there's a good, like, let's say guard or tight end in the draft and they think that it's a good value, they'll probably draft them. So yeah, I've also heard that the draft is pretty deep with tight ends, and that you know, is definitely an option. You know what else, though? Getting back to the discussion about their current offense, you know, they went out and they signed Jacoby Myers out of New England, and that's a dude that I liked. And I'll tell you, I liked him because of fantasy football this year. I actually picked him up on the waiver wire, and he killed it. He's a great number two. I know he plays the slot, and, you know, so it's like, are they going to move him to the outside, or are they going to keep him in the slot and then trade Renfro? I know that's still up in the air. And if they get rid of Renfro, then, you know, I don't know. Maybe it almost feels like when they shipped Derek Carr out of town, that there was a group of guys that kind of stood with Derek Carr. Almost like Josh McDaniels drew a line in the sand and said, all right, who's here with me? Who's going to be a Raider and who's going to follow Derek? You know, and maybe Waller was one of those that was like, well, you know, I'm with Derek. And, you know, maybe Hunter was one of those. And that's why we're talking about getting rid of him. For all we know, Jacobs could be one of those. But they are not dumb enough to let the number one rusher in the league last year to just go. You know, I think that they'll keep him. He'll sign and they'll run him into the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that seems really common with running backs these days. And regarding Hunter Renfrow, I mean, I would have thought they would have moved him by now. But at the same time, he's also really good draft capital, like during the draft. I like the idea of keeping him too. You know, the thing is, McDaniels only had 1 year to watch him and see what he did, and he was hurt a lot. He missed a lot of games, and if that's the only little piece of his experience with Hunter was him just not being in games, then that's what he had to go off of, then maybe he doesn't value him that much, and he's looking for somebody that's going to, you know, is more dependable, healthy. But I've been watching Hunter since he came out into the NFL, at least. I didn't get a chance to catch him at Clemson. He's been good. He catches everything that he's got. You know, you always worry about him getting hurt because he's so small. And maybe last year is a piece, and is he going to be the same guy when he comes back, you know, this upcoming year? We don't know. And neither does McDaniels. So I think that's kind of the question with Hunter Renfrow. Josh Jacobs, he's the heart and soul of this team. You know, I really think he's a guy where if you're McDaniels, you would like a locker room that's together. And you know Josh is going to be that leader in the locker room and keep everybody honest and keep them working hard. Him and Max Crosby, you know, are the new young leaders of this team. And I'm okay with that. You know, and as far as money-wise, you know, a lot of these running backs, they want it, but, you know, nobody's willing to pay it. And it's just what happened to that position. It's one of my favorite positions, too. It's just not valued anymore in the NFL.
Well, it's because these running backs have like a 3 to 5 year shelf life. These dudes are getting hit every single play. And if they're not getting hit, they're blocking and basically hitting somebody anyways. So I'd say sign Josh Jacobs to like a 2 year deal. You know, at the end of 2 years, he'll probably be coming down. But, I mean, he's in his prime, certainly, at this point. So, you know, pay the man. He earned it. Since we're talking about the offense, we might as well talk about Derek Carr leaving. I've been watching the Raiders religiously since around 1997, 98, actually, at the very beginning of the Gruden years. And so I remember Rich Gannon. I mean, that dude was my first Raider quarterback when I started watching the team. And that dude was incredible. I mean, he obviously got the MVP, I think, in 2001, if I'm not mistaken. He was a perfect West Coast quarterback for Gruden's offense. Dude was Mr. Reliable. If we were down, I knew Al Gannon's going to bring us back. And he totally did every single time, except for the Super Bowl, of course, where we got our asses handed to us and he threw like 3 interceptions. But I thought he was great. And so, you know, after having Gannon, and then, of course, let's not forget all the horrible quarterbacks we had in between Gannon and Carr. I mean, do you remember Andrew Walter or Aaron Brooks?
I remember Aaron Brooks.
Right? Or, you know, of course, Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, Matty McGloin.
Yeah, Terrell Pryor.
Pryor.
I mean, just there's been a lot of...
Carson Palmer.
There's been a lot of mediocrity or guys that are washed to the point that they come to the Raiders. Wasn't there a succession of Matts? It was like Matt Flynn. I don't know if you remember Matt Flynn. Yep. We got him. And then Matt Schaub. And then Derek got drafted and actually was stoked when Derek got drafted because he's kind of who I wanted. You know, I mean, getting Khalil Mack and then Derek Carr in the second round was pretty good get, I would say. But of course, the thing with Derek was the dude showed promise, but I think he was ascending until he broke his back. And I think at that point, he got skittish. He got a little scared. He got happy feet in the pocket. And at that point, it was just kind of like he was just good enough to win you like 8 or 9 games, you know what I mean? Or just bad enough to you know, only win 7 games, but just stay right in the area where it's like, oh, could he get better? You know, should we keep him around? The quarterback is the most important player on the team, and we went to the playoffs twice with Derek Carr as our quarterback. Once he got hurt, he couldn't play, and we lost in the first round, and when he actually finally did play, we lost. Granted, we almost won. But it doesn't matter. I mean, you are what your record says you are, and that's got to be the same for quarterbacks as well.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Carr was never in a great situation, and you wonder, you know, it was just recently in the news, Mark Davis's last conversation with Derek Carr was apologizing for not putting the right situation around him to win games and kind of taking some of that ownership, you know, and some people put everything on the quarterback, some people put it all on the coach, you know, and maybe you could put it all on the owner for not setting it up. But, I mean, definitely was an ideal situation the past 9 years, or how long has he been our quarterback?
9 years.
Yeah, 9 years that he's been our quarterback. We've gone through different coaches. You know, we've overpaid for players, and then you tear it down, and you give him something else, and he never complained about it once. And I don't know. I mean, I appreciate his time that he did here, but it wasn't enough. You know, bottom line, it wasn't enough on, but not just with him, with the people that were around him. And we just need some stability. We've been rebuilding for so long, and it almost feels like it's another one. Maybe everybody's learned their lesson, hopefully, in the Raiders organization. And maybe they're going to be a little more patient with it and really get this thing right is what, you know, McDaniels keeps saying in his pressures. And you know what? Time will tell. I can't say yes or I can't say no. I mean, I hope it happens. I'm waiting for it to happen. And it's like, okay, well, let's see what they're going to do and see what happens after this draft and see how it all comes together.
Let's change gears and talk about the draft. This is my favorite time of the year. Every single year, obviously, I start looking at draft stuff. Of course, I'm a Raider fan, and so I start looking at draft stuff halfway between the season before because our record is usually pretty bad. I'm like, well, how high can we get? But yeah, the draft is coming April 27th, if I'm not mistaken. That is 3 days before my birthday. It's always a good birthday present when it comes around. And so we figured we'd end this podcast talking a little bit about the draft, what guys could potentially be there, what guys we want, so on and so forth. So since the Raiders obviously, or at least should be, in the market for quarterbacks, let's talk about the quarterbacks that the Raiders could potentially take at draft pick number 7 this year. Of course, there's four. They're in different orders. I guess you could rank them in different orders, but you got C.J. Stroud out of Ohio State, Anthony Richardson out of Florida, Will Levis out of Kentucky, and Bryce Young out of Alabama. I don't know if you have any thoughts on any of those guys in particular, or where do you think they're going? Obviously, I mean, we think that either C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young is going to go number one to Carolina. And I have a feeling that they're going to draft C.J. Stroud. And there's something inside of me that thinks that Bryce Young is going to probably go number two to Houston because, you know, who do they have there?
For Bryce Young, right off the bat, his size is a concern to me. You know, I Kyler Murray, you know, I mean, he's a good quarterback. But I've seen his size kind of like limit him in a lot of things. You know, you're throwing over some of these big linemen and stuff. And I mean, sometimes it could be used to your advantage. But I mean, the size is definitely a concern of mine. But everybody seems to be really high on Bryce Young. They say he's the most NFL-ready quarterback coming out. You know, I mean, I can't wait to see him play in the NFL.
He's a cerebral quarterback and he runs and, you know, he's a playmaker. But he doesn't have the size.
He's also somebody I think, and I've, you know, read some articles, whether they're true or not, that the Raiders were maybe possibly trying to move up and get. I mean, I really like C.J. Stroud a lot. If I could have my quarterback out of this draft, it'd probably be Stroud. And, I mean, I love his athleticism. You know, he showed a little bit of it that he could kind of run the ball at the end of the season last year. And
well, see, that's the thing about Stroud. Like, he actually, through his college career, he didn't run a lot. But that last game, that bowl game that he played, he did run. And everybody was like, well, where did this come from? I guess, you know, I guess he has it all. So, I mean, you have his accuracy. You know, I think out of the top four, he's the most accurate. Plus, he can run now, we think. Yeah, he definitely would have been my top pick as well out of the four of them. But, you know, let's just say that those two dudes are going to go 1 and 2, just for the sake of this. So we have Anthony Richardson and Will Levis that are available, and the Raiders could potentially move up to 3 with Arizona, who are, you know, currently at 3, but they obviously don't need a quarterback because they got Murray over there. Do we move up, or is there a possibility that we move up? And if we do, what are we getting rid of, or what are we trading to move up? And then if we do move up, who is it going to be, Anthony Richardson or Will Levis?
Yeah, well, Anthony Richardson, you know, just had his pro day and was really shining out there. You know, he was showing off that arm strength, and a scout said he needs some work he needs to work on some footwork, but his athleticism just can't be denied. You know, he's the one that makes me most excited right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went up and picked him to kind of sit behind Garoppolo, because now he's going to be the future and he can learn behind Garoppolo. I also feel like they traded for Garoppolo so they didn't have to go and give up too much, which, you know, the Raiders are patient and they don't like giving up a lot. I thought the Vontae Adams trade was pretty good. They got everything like taken care of in 1 year. It was a pretty smart trade. And they're not going to just give up the house for anybody. If the position's good, they'll do it. But they also could sit back and get best defensive player.
If they move up, obviously, and you know, and they're targeting a quarterback, then I hope it's Richardson too. You know, I was listening to some of these, you know, talking heads on ESPN or NFL Network or something. And they were talking about how, you know, the Raiders are, you know, in a division with arguably two, or, you know, unless, you know, if Russell Wilson can overcome you know, that bad year that he had last year with the arrival of Sean Payton. But arguably two of the top five quarterbacks in the league. Obviously, we know Patrick Mahomes is number one, but a lot of people think that Herbert's up there top five too. I mean, he just seems to keep getting mad respect thrown his way, whether or not it's deserved or not, because the Chargers haven't won either since he's been there. I mean, they've made the playoffs, but it's not like they've won a championship since he's been there. But if the Raiders want to keep up with those guys, they're going to have to draft their own quarterback that, you know, is kind of an ass kicker. You know, somebody that, you know, can throw the ball a mile, can run, can scramble, can make plays, you know, unscripted. And I think Anthony Richardson is that guy. Now, obviously, he is the least polished of the four top quarterbacks, but he definitely is somebody that could potentially rise to that level. I'm not saying he's going to, but I'm saying he could potentially rise to that level. Whereas the other guys feel like they kind of have a ceiling, you know, that's not, like, none of these guys are going to be Patrick Mahomes, but Anthony Richardson could be, you know what I mean? As far as Will Levis is concerned, when I first read about Levis, I thought, okay, cool, like, this guy's going to be another Josh Allen. And, you know, Josh Allen has been good, but he kind of crashed back down to earth this year. And now they're saying that Buffalo might have missed their window and that, you know, they might not have another one. So who knows? You know, plus I've also heard that Will Levis hasn't been interviewing well at the combine, that he's been kind of, I don't want to say arrogant or defensive, but just, you know, I don't know. There have been rumors and rumblings. So, I would prefer the Raiders didn't draft Will Levis. I mean, if they don't move up and, you know, they stay at seven, and of course, that, you know, let's say that Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson are gone. I just assume they draft one of the top defensive players at that point. And, you know, I mean, because you really can't. I don't want to say you can't miss, but there's a lot of really good defensive players in this draft, at least worthy of being top 10. And the Raiders really need to nail this one because, again, our defense has holes all over the place.
You know, history does tell that the past drafts, you know, you go back and look at the list, and sometimes I put myself into a little depression, you know, doing it, and you like to see who maybe you could have picked and who you end up getting. And a lot of those guys, most of them, aren't even on the team. And you're like, no wonder we're right here in NFL purgatory. And, you know, so hopefully, you know, they make the right decisions this time, and they don't try to always outsmart everybody. You know, usually the answer is already right there in front of them. Somebody's gave them the answer sheet and they threw it away and circled D, none of the above, you know. And I don't know. We'll see who gets drafted. But I mean, it's got to be defense or it's got to be quarterback.
Let's say it's defense then. Let's say the top four quarterbacks go and the Raiders are stuck. I don't see the Seahawks drafting Will Levis. I feel like Anthony Richardson would be better. So if the Colts move up and draft Anthony Richardson, then I bet that the Seattle goes, okay, well, we'll just take the best defender in this draft. And they pick up, you know, probably Will Anderson Jr., if I'm not mistaken.
If the Colts end up trading with the Cardinals, they'll be picking right after him, and they might be in the position to scoop up Will Anderson.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I hear you. So then Arizona would probably take Will Anderson is what you're saying.
Which leaves Seahawks, you know, with the next quarterback, you know, if they wanted. Or taking, you know, maybe they want to take a role on Jalen Carter.
Yeah, I think out of any of the teams that are going to try to get Jalen Carter, and let me just preface this by saying I understand why the Raiders have – quote unquote, taking Jalen Carter off of their draft board. You know, I know the Athletic's Vic Tafer basically posted an article basically mentioning that the Raiders were just out on Jalen Carter and that they weren't going to draft him. But, like, how do you do that when he's obviously the best defensive player in this draft? I mean, you can't argue with the film that he put out this past year. I mean, the dude is a beast, and you can't, like, our defense has such a hole in the middle of the defense that Jalen Carter would just fill perfectly. I don't know. I just, how do you take him off the board? What do you think on, what are your thoughts on Jalen Carter?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's character concerns, and, you know, like I was saying earlier, the kind of players I want in the locker room are the ones that are willing to put in the work. But, I mean, obviously his tape doesn't lie. He had a really bad pro day, it just blew it. And you know, but at the same time, he had the whole investigation going on at the same time. I mean, just with all that in his head, maybe that's the, you know, that has something to do with it. But the tape doesn't lie. I think Jalen Carter's gonna go to a team and he's gonna come out into the NFL and he's gonna do what he does. You know, somebody's gonna take you know, on that baggage, you know, the character concerns and everything. And, you know, maybe he can kind of grow up a little bit and kind of just focus on football.
All right. Well, then let's finish then this conversation about the draft on the defensive backs, because honestly, that's where I think the Raiders are going to go. I know that we are in desperate need of a CB1. I think that the cornerbacks that we signed in free agency are all good guys. They're decent. They're not great. I know they're young guys. They're ascending. But as far as the draft is concerned, there are two guys at the top of this draft that are different players, but they're both, I believe, top 10 worthy specimens. And we'll start with the kid out of Illinois, Devon Witherspoon. I don't know if you've ever seen any film on this kid, but I was watching it the other day, and he is absolutely a monster. I think he's not that tall. I think he's like 5'9", a buck 85, but he doesn't play like it. I mean, the dude hits hard. He works in the run. You know, he does well in the run game. You know, he's twitchy. He's able to, like, he excels in zone defense, where, you know, as soon as he sees what's going on, he basically charges towards the, you know, the ball carrier. And half the time he gets there fast enough to swat away the ball. And he does well in man coverage too. And you know, I think a guy like that would go a long ways, because he would be a superstar in the backfield. And we have Max Crosby, who's a superstar on the line. Now all we need to do is get a halfway decent linebacker, and we'd have at least a great player at every one of the levels of the defense. What do you think about Devon Witherspoon?
Yeah, I mean, Witherspoon's taped up. I mean, it's good. I like the kid. You know, obviously the size thing, you know, you think about Amik Robertson, but you've seen Amik get beat by some bigger guys, and you've seen the size become a disadvantage, you know. And I'm not sure the height comparison between the two, but I mean, that concerns me a lot, you know, and especially in our division, there's a lot of great receivers, you know, and a lot of them are a lot bigger. So that concerns me. I wouldn't be upset if we did get him, you know, just because he puts in the work and he is a grinder, and he definitely shows that he's ready to play in the league. But one guy that, I mean, who knows where he'll be is Christian Gonzalez. You know, is he a Sauce Gardner? No, but I mean, Sauce was a special guy coming out of college last year, and he went into the NFL right away and proved to be one of the best corners in the league. But Christian Gonzalez is probably, I think, you know, he's the most popular cornerback in this draft, and whether he's there at seven still for us is to be determined. But
well, I definitely think he's popular because of his size. I mean, the dude is 6'2". You know, I'm not really sure about his 40 time, or even if he ran the 40. But I put on his tape, and he's legit. He's got the length that you want in a cornerback. He's got a good speed. He's more hesitant to make those solid tackles, but he's big enough to take down anybody that you need him to take down. So he would definitely be my choice, my second choice out of the two. I like the edge that Witherspoon plays with, but you know, who's to say that Christian Gonzalez doesn't have a little bit of edge to him too? I'd probably have to watch a little bit more film, but yeah, those are the two DBs that I'm hoping we get. You know, another guy that's probably going to be available if they want him is the defensive end Tyree Wilson out of Texas Tech. That dude's a monster. I don't know if you've ever seen him, but he's got an 86-inch wingspan, 6'6", monster. He is probably what they thought they were getting in Chandler Jones. And I think that having him on the other side and then bringing Chandler Jones in on, you know, I don't know. Or maybe you could slide Tyree Wilson in and have him play defensive tackle and Chandler Jones on, like, obvious passing situations. Yeah, Max Crosby, Chandler Jones, Tyree Wilson, and then Jerry Tillery. That's right. Yeah. You put Tillery and those four dudes on the line rushing the passer on third down, like, that could cause some trouble for opposing quarterbacks.
Do you think there's any possibility the Raiders trade in further back into the draft?
There is, because I think that McDaniels and Ziegler are probably like, well, we need everybody, you know, on defense. So if we move down, we could pick up a player that we think is just as good while picking up more draft picks that they could potentially use to move back up into the, you know, let's say they parlay some draft picks to move back up into the second round. Because I know we have two third rounds, if I'm not mistaken, and we have a second and a first. So if you move down in the first, maybe pick up another third, then maybe you could parlay two of those threes into a two, and then two of the twos into a one, and move back into the top of the first and get two first round guys. Or they just keep all the picks, and, you know, because the more they pick, the more guys they pick, the better chance they have, hopefully, of getting it right.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of picks this year, you know. So I mean, there's definitely some bartering that they could be doing, and that's what makes this time of year so special during the NFL draft. Is just you never know what's gonna happen. You know, you're watching teams change, and before you know it, like, you know, on draft day, a star player goes to another team that you would have never seen coming. So I love it. I love the environment. I'd like to be there one day, but can't wait.
All right. Well, I guess we'll call it. I don't want this thing to get too long. We'll keep it at a solid around a half hour. It might be a little bit longer. I think maybe it's closer to 40 minutes, but that's pretty good. Sometimes with podcasts, they tend to run a little bit long. And so I want to make sure that we, you know, obviously leave everybody wanting more. Plus, you know, I mean, we'll have more to say after the draft when we find out who we draft. I'm sure we'll record another one of these, and we'll talk about the players, and there'll be more things to celebrate and more things to be pissed off about, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, definitely everybody, thank you guys for listening, you know, and joining us on this journey. And we're going to keep bringing the content for you guys and just keep talking about this Raiders as news comes along. And, you know, and hopefully you guys enjoy it.
So thanks again. And once again, this is Down with the Ship, Raider Nation podcast. This has been Matty Mayhem and my co-host Sean Carnage. And we appreciate you guys giving us the time. And we look forward to recording some more content for you and following along. And hopefully this is the start of something great.
Peace out.